The O-filler. One noon in the library, I watched a man, imagine, filling in O's. A little rumpled nobody of a man who licked his stub of pencil and bent over every O with a loving care, shading it neatly, exactly to its edges, until the open pages were pocked and dotted with solid O's like villages and capitals on a map. And yet, so peppered, somehow the book looked lived in and complete. That whole afternoon, as the light outside softened and the library groaned woodenly, he worked and worked, his oh-so-patient shading descending like an eyelid over each open O, page after page. Not once did he miss one, or hover even a moment over an A or an E or a P or a G. Only the O's. Oodles of O's. O's multitudinous. O's manifold. O's italic and Roman. And what light on his crumpled face when he discovered, as I supposed, odd words like zoo and ooze, Orlon, oolong, and odontology. Think now, in that limitless library, all round the steep-shelved walls, bulging in their bindings, books stood, waiting. Heaven knows how many he had so far filled, but no matter, there still were uncountable volumes of O-laden prose and odes with inflated capital O's in the manner of Shelley. O-bearing Bibles and biographies, even whole sections devoted to O alone, all his for the filling. Glory, glory, glory. How lovely and open and endless the world must have seemed to him, how utterly clear-cut. Think of it. A pencil was all he needed. Life was one wide O. And why in the end should O's not be closed as I's are? I envied him. After all, sitting across from him, had I accomplished anything as firm as he had or as fruitful? What could I show? A handful of scrawled lines, an afternoon yawned and wandered away, and a growing realization that in time even my scribbled words would come under his grubby thumb and the blinds be drawn on all my O's. And only this thought for comfort, that when he comes to this poem, a proper joy may amaze his wizened face, and oh, a pure pleasure make his meticulous pencil quiver.